There was good news for Judah that spring of 1860. In May, in Chicago, Abraham Lincoln was nominated for president by the Republicans on a platform that called for full government support of the Pacific Railway. In June, Congress passed an act granting federal aid to an overland telegraph from Missouri to San Francisco. That act cut through the quibbling over whether or not the federal government could support an internal improvement in states as well as in the territories. The telegraph line was completed in 1861. There was bad news, too. Visitors came to Judah's Pacific Railroad Museum to gawk, to talk, to be impressed, and to ask questions. Chiefly, how do you propose to get across the Sierra Nevada mountains? It was one thing for the Baltimore and Ohio to cross the Appalachians, another altogether to attempt the Sierra. He made up his mind, according to Anna, that he would never go to Washington again till he had been on the Sierra Nevada and made a survey, so that when he returned, it would be with his maps, profiles, estimates, etc., for a railroad across the same. In the summer of 1860, Judah and Anna set sail for California. Immediately on arrival in Sacramento, Judah set off for the Sierra. He may have been on the payroll of the Sacramento Valley Railroad, whose owners wanted him to hunt for a wagon road from Dutch Flat over the mountains, past Donner Lake, to the mines in Nevada. Or maybe not, it isn't certain. In any event, he was doing what he loved best, sleeping in the open, camping out in wilderness mountain country, cooking over a fire, eating with his back to a tree, watching out for mountain lions, taking barometric readings to establish altitude, mapping out a route, noting the flora and fauna, looking everywhere, enjoying life as few people ever have. Anna wrote that he went over the different passes, including Hennis, Beckworth, and Donner. No one knew what he was doing. The engineer was in the mountains. I remained in Sacramento among friends. Sometimes she joined him on his excursions, painting while he measured. This was rugged, mountainous country, extremely picturesque, but it seemed there was no chance for a railroad beyond Dutch Flat. At Cape Horn, for example, 2 miles above Illinois Town, the drops beneath the old, unused wagon road Judah was following were as much as 1,500 feet. It seemed to everyone who had been there that it was impossible to build a rail line around Cape Horn. Everyone, that is, except Judah. The man who had built the suspension bridge at Niagara Falls knew that it mattered not if grade for the track was built above a 1,500-foot drop or over a 15-foot drop. What interested him most were the widely spaced saddles in the ridgeline. By weaving in and out of them, the railroad could ascend toward the ultimate crest of the mountains on an even grade, not in excess of the capability of the locomotives, or a maximum of 100 feet per mile.